Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to a brand new episode of Comic Conversations, episode 209, where we talk all things comics for the week of March 28th, 2018. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Alex and Dave. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, man.
All right, and Alex.
Wonderful.
All right. Excellent. With that out of the way, let's go into our first segment this week, news. There's the bummer indie music I'm used to.
Yeah, I got the song's not a bummer though. I got tired of you mentioning it, so I'm like, oh, I gotta do something with Malkmus. And then I'm like, fuck it, I'll just pick Pavement.
There you go.
It's got scratchy guitars, it's got one of the indiest indie singers ever.
Yes, that is Summer Bay. Winter version.
By Pavement.
All right, let's go into this week's news. Unlike other weeks where we, you know, we have one, maybe two news stories to talk about, and then we go quickly into the reviews. We got tons of news this week. Above all which is very important to me, but we are seeing the return of Fantastic Four to the Marvel lineup.
Well, they had been teasing it already with this, 2-in-1, so.
Yeah, Marvel 2-in-1. They've been teasing an eventual return, but we know when. I didn't expect it so soon, but I'm glad to hear it.
This is like a up-down thing, because like on the positive, it's good because they're making a big deal out of it, which means they'll make a big deal out of the Fantastic Four. The bad news is, from what we've seen, fucking Nick Spencer's probably going to write it.
I thought it was Dan Slott.
It's Dan Slott, you fool.
It's Dan Slott.
So he didn't take a second to look at the story.
I get to read another fucking 10-year run of something.
I was quick to point this out on Twitter on the CBR post. I was like, oh, Slott's got to feel pretty stupid right now for killing off Dylan.
You know what gives me hope for that? My first reaction was, his Spider-Man doesn't lead me to believe he'd be good at Fantastic Four. And then I forgot he wrote the awesome Silver Surfer.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which, you know, that showed he would be good at Fantastic Four.
Unfortunately, though, he killed off Dawn, so I'm thinking they'll maybe find a way to bring that back.
I don't think it's going to be about Dawn.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have a story with Silver Surfer.
Is All Red doing the art?
Sadly, no.
I hope. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, it's Sarah Pacelli.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Sarah Pacelli's good.
Yeah, I've seen some people frown on it, but I've seen her stuff, and I'm like, no, it's fairly good.
Well, it's because Sarah Pacelli usually gets on a book and she's on it for like three issues and then she disappears. So.
Well, it's, you know, those are going to be the best selling issues and then it's just going to taper off.
Well, unless it's really good. Like Dan Slott, he's kind of a draw.
Yeah, he may be enough of a draw to give this book legs for a while. Yeah,
I mean, this isn't Silver Surfer. It's the Fantastic Four. And if they never really push Silver Surfer, like if they push Fantastic Four, it could sell.
Yeah. I could sit here and try to critique. It's like, well, I would have put X on or Y on. I'm like, well, considering who they have in their current lineup, my only real guess would have been, since he's doing so great with Marvel 2-in-1, why wouldn't you just put Zdarsky on?
You know what my suggestion – well, you should know what my suggestion would have been.
Grant Morrison?
Who hasn't written the Fantastic Four?
Grant Morrison?
Grant Morrison. Why don't you back a dump truck full of money up to his fucking house? Bring him back to the house of ideas.
Slow your roll for a second. So, we didn't talk about this on the show, but we talked about this on Skype. I proposed that, hey, you know what? I was kind of disappointed that they put Spencer on Spider-Man. He's like, oh, they should have at least tried to put Morrison on that book. Because it's like, it's a big book. It's like the second biggest book in the industry.
I don't want Morrison for Spider-Man. he doesn't fit Spider-Man. Fantastic Four, fucking cosmic, going through the multiverse. He loves that shit. He should do that. Not fucking Spider-Man. It's about a guy. Like, whatever. He already wrote a guy. He wrote Batman, and it was fucking crazy. I don't want Spider-Man to be all crazy.
Why not? You might as well. Everything else has been done before.
I'd rather hear it.
Spencer's just
going to
make him a secret
Nazi. But it doesn't matter because he's not fucking writing for them, so whatever.
Spencer's just going to make him a secret Nazi.
Morrison would do that.
No, he'd make him an overt Nazi.
There'd be an army of spider Nazis from the 23rd dimension. Boom.
Boom.
Well, since we're talking the Return of the Fantastic Four, let's talk about something going away. Potentially. Now, not only did they announce the Return of the Fantastic Four, but they announced a title that's being called Death of Inhumans. Me and Alex, before we went on the air for the show, we talked and we're like, yeah, they're not really going to kill off the Inhumans. Like,
and this would be in July, but by the way.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Well, the thing is, nobody's going to care because they push the Inhumans really heavily because here's the thing. And we were talking about this. The whole story was like, oh, they're pushing the Inhumans because they don't have the X-Men rights. And I gave a bunch of reasons that doesn't make any sense. I think they pushed the Inhumans because they had these characters forever and they never did anything with them. So they thought, let's just try it. But the problem was people resented it and they didn't like it.
They pushed them way too hard.
They did. They pushed them way too hard.
You could have had an Inhumans book that you tried to make a big deal. But you tried like five and none of them got over. With the exception of maybe – you could argue Ms. Marvel.
No, because the thing is, I've had to point this out a million times, Ms. Marvel doesn't actually sell, so I'm still not sure what – Champions doesn't sell, and that's her team book. Like, the perception that Kamala Khan is this big character,
well, she,
like,
I'll
I
say
like
this
her,
much. She's
but
a,
it's not
she's
true.
She's a popular character. Maybe her
– She was a draw at first.
Yeah, but for like the last 3 years, like nobody buys her comic. Who is she popular with? People who don't buy comics?
No, that's the Squirrel Girl people. Oh! I remember for the longest time I couldn't tell you why I didn't like Squirrel Girl, and I figured it out. It's like, this book feels like it's being written for people that don't read comics, and I resented it. And I'm like, that's why I don't like Squirrel Girl.
I didn't think it was that dissimilar from Superior Foes.
I think it is.
It might have been a little wackier, but...
Like, it felt like it was poking fun at comics, and I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
I never got that sense.
Well, you also didn't read that long, so...
I read a couple issues. I thought it was a story about a weird girl going to college, but she has squirrel powers.
For computer graphics.
Right. For computer graphics. I just want a fucking... HBO, after they do their fucking Andre the Giant documentary, should do a documentary on the woman from that documentary. And
from
what
beyond
happened
that,
in her life.
Had that Bret Hart motivated her to go back to school
for
computer
graphics? Yeah, like, did she get a degree in computer graphics? is she successful, the Bret Hart? Or when Goldberg retired Bret Hart, did she like, just jump off a bridge or something?
No, because then eventually he came back to the E, remember? And he had a match or two?
Didn't he have a really bad match with Vince?
And then another bad match at SummerSlam where he beat the Nexus?
I thought John Cena beat the Nexus.
Well, he was part of the team.
Oh, okay.
But what is and this shows not where our interest at is for the Death of the Inhumans. They're not really going to kill him off.
No, they'll be gone for a little while and then they'll come back. And
I don't even think they're going away. I think it's
they
just,
might. I think they'll go away for a while.
I think what they're going what this what the end of this is gonna be is they're gonna kill off all the jobber Inhumans. So
you
all
know what's gonna happen? They're gonna go to the DC universe because of events that happened in Dark Knight's Metal. What up? I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't read the description for this episode, that is in fact coming. Alex's solo review of Dark Knight's Metal is in fact going to be our first review right at the gates. But you're gonna have to wait for that bad boy. But yeah, Death of Inhumans, I think they're just going to use it to kill all the jobber Inhumans. They're going to keep the royal family and then just kill off all the ones that weren't over. Which is most of them.
Which is all the new humans.
Yeah. Well, with the exception of the ones that they use, so they might
all the new humans except Kamala.
And the detective with the glowing eyes.
He's not, like, he's more over. I liked Reader a lot.
They'll probably keep Reader. They'll keep Moon Girl.
Moon Girl is an Inhuman?
She was an Inhuman?
Yes. That's why
I thought she was just really smart and had Devil Dinosaur.
No, she's an Inhuman. No. Remember we read X-Men versus Inhumans and she was in that?
What's her power?
That she's the smartest person in the world.
Oh. Okay. Oh, Karnak.
Karnak's part of the royal family.
Remember that Karnak series? That was good.
Yeah, it was.
It had nothing to do with the Inhumans at all, but it was good.
I'm shocked Brian Woods didn't pick that book up.
Well, because it was only 6 issues.
Yeah, he could have read issue 7 and 8.
Well, no, they didn't want to. It was Warren Ellis is like, I want to write a 6-issue Karnak story. And they said, okay, and he didn't leave at issue 5. I will say this.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I do like this trend towards minis.
Well, it's not a trend. It's always been around.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're seeing more and more minis.
Yeah.
Which I prefer that opposed to them taking a chance with a book that ends up getting canceled after issue 10. And I have to watch it, like, just struggle and not find an audience.
By the way, this girl, Moon Girl, she was already smart beforehand. Her abilities are consciousness transferal, and she has a mental link with the dinosaur.
Oh, okay, so she was already smart.
Wait, so was Moon Boy an Inhuman?
That I don't know.
He did, too.
You know, I'm going to try to tie these two stories together. They've established that Moon Girl is, in fact, smarter than Reed. So I'm curious how that plays out in the new Fantastic Four book.
Well, I don't think they're going to fight.
No, but the whole gimmick has always been Reed's the smartest in the world.
Well, people trust Reed more because... I don't know. We just read that Flash comic where, like, Flash was explaining, like, you know, just because you're good at one science doesn't mean you're good at all of them.
I just want that Fantastic Four cover where it's Reed... And he's sitting on the stool, and he's got the dunce cap on, and Moon Girl has, like, she's standing in front of a chalkboard.
That's not really going to put over
the yard ruler stick.
The Fantastic Four coming back.
But I'm just saying, that'd be a cute cover, just to establish that, you know, she's a bigger deal.
Dude, if I was Bentley, I'd slap her upside the head.
You know, they're working on an animated series of Marvel Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur?
You're kidding.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, though, because, like, kids and you want little girls.
Of all
girls
characters,
to,
though,
like,
Moon
your
Girl?
Shit. Because well, it appeals to little girls,
yeah.
And
it'll
it's
be
got
on
a
Disney.
Dinosaur.
Yeah, and it'll be on Disney XD, so kids will watch it.
Yeah, maybe my kid will like
have
it.
Have you heard that the... I've been hear rumblings about Deadpool animated series.
I think
I got canceled.
Yeah, I got canceled.
That should get canceled, because that would very quickly overexpose Deadpool.
Well, it's not that. It's Disney said, like, Deadpool 2 can be R-rated. Like, they're okay with that. But I don't think Disney wants to make, like, an R-rated cartoon.
Well, it doesn't have to be Disney. It could. They just could, they could out.
They own,
it to
they
somebody.
Own the character, though. So, it would be them.
Like, Disney's not making any of those Netflix series.
Well, but they own the properties.
And those aren't exactly G-rated.
They're not cartoons, though. I'm saying the image of Disney owns this and it's a cartoon, but it's rated R, might be a problem for them. They canceled it for some reason.
Hey. All right, moving on to the Marvel stuff. Someone who's sworn to never write for Marvel or DC ever again, Mark Miller.
Yeah! Okay, as I read this story, and he basically said, oh, I'm too busy with my Netflix deal and my creator-owned stuff, which is, you know, the same shit I've been doing for fucking 15 years. I won't be working for Marvel or DC anymore. And as I read this, I started to think, what notable things did Mark Miller write for Marvel? He wrote part of Civil War. What else did Mark Miller write for Marvel that people cared about?
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember now what it was.
Okay, I was going to say this is a trick question. The answer is nothing.
I'm sure there's something.
Because he's not good. In DC, he really didn't do anything.
He did Ultimate X-Men when it was good.
Ultimate X-Men was never as popular as Ultimate Spider-Man, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was kind of good.
And it died off pretty quick. I remember there was that one really good issue of Ultimate X-Men, and Bendis wrote it.
Yeah.
So Mark Miller didn't even write it. And DC, like, I remember he wrote Superman, but nobody liked it. And the only thing I can remember him doing before that was...
Oh! Now I remember.
He killed the Authority.
Old Man Logan.
Okay.
Don't, yeah, see, you can't sit here and try to bury...
I never read
Old Man
it.
You're kidding, you never read Old Man Logan?
The original?
Yeah.
No.
It's great. Love it.
I'm glad he's gone.
Can I spoil?
I kind of wish Bendis would have went to create your own stuff, but whatever.
Hey, he also worked with Ryan Hitch on the Ultimates.
I never liked the Ultimates. Like,
never?
No, I mean, even before it, you know, like the really, really bad shit wasn't him. But the first one, I didn't like what he was trying to do.
I know, I liked it.
Like, it was very much like, this is the fucking 90s, we gotta be cool.
He did Marvel 1985.
Huh?
Marvel 1985.
The fuck is that?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either today.
That's that, that's that one where, like, the kid is, who started reading Secret Wars and, you know... His parents are divorced, and he's bullied or something, and,
And this is good,
like,
you say.
What's that?
And this is good, you say.
I'm looking this up because I've never heard of it.
But no, you're right. It's funny how he announces he's never working for them again, and you look at his body of work for both companies, and it's not insignificant, but it's nothing to brag about.
Mark Miller was always like his thing was all of his shit got turned into movies. Often not particularly good movies, but they got turned into movies. And it wasn't always his fault. Like, the Wanted movie was nothing like the comic. So I can't really blame.
I want to sit with somebody who works on movies and just ask him in general why they always feel the need to change everything.
They don't in everything, because, like, Kick-Ass was pretty close.
Yeah, but more often than not, they feel the need to change everything, and it's like, I don't... Like, it's a comic book. They've already set it up for shots. So I don't understand, like, why they feel the need to change it so much.
They just might think it works better. I don't know.
But it never does. Or rarely it really does.
I don't know. I've often made the argument that the changes to Watchmen actually help the movie. Like, from a story standpoint, removing the fucking giant alien.
Well, I think with the new HBO series, we're getting the alien. So we could stack up the two side by side, which one's better.
Well, it's going to be completely different, though. One of them was a movie that stuck... And by the way, I don't really like the Watchmen movie, and I think aside from that, it stuck incredibly close to the comic, to the point when it was, like, at points it was shot for shot the comic, and I... Didn't find that particularly interesting because I can just read the comic. I'm one of the people who appreciates the changes because then I don't feel like I already know everything that's going to happen.
Well, the thing is, the movie's not made for you, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, but the people it's made for, they think this shit will work better. Like, Thor Ragnarok was a lot of fun. I wasn't offended that it wasn't directly a comic story. It worked.
Yeah, because it was not even close to the Ragnarok in the comics.
Yeah, it was a fun fucking Thor Hulk movie.
One of these days, I want to read that original Ragnarok.
What about Spider-Man Homecoming? That was great. What comic was that?
Yeah, but yeah. Well, Spider-Man's the exception because Spider-Man has very few good stories.
What?
Yes.
That's insane. Spider-Man has lots of good stories.
Okay, name some.
The Boy Who Loves Spider-Man?
That's not a movie.
No, that's, you said stories. That's a story.
Okay.
What?
What else?
Fucking Gwen Stacy getting off. This is classic.
I've since read that, and the part up to where she dies is interesting, but then all the follow-up is kind of boring, where they kill Osborn.
Well, Wait, what? They didn't kill Osborn. Osborn killed himself.
Same thing.
What was the fucking Rhino story? Joe Kelly did it. Like, Rage of the Rhino or something? That was fucking great.
Yeah, but none of these are a movie.
Well, you asked me about comic stories.
Yeah, you said stories.
You didn't say anything
okay,
about the movie.
Okay, so what are they supposed to do for the movie? Just string together all these stories?
No, you were talking about how they don't take the comic stuff, and I'm like, and then you said he didn't have a lot of good stories. I started listening stories.
Okay, stories they,
that
okay,
are good.
Okay,
I didn't say.
All right, if that's is that the way
movie.
We're gonna be, then let me clarify.
Kind of
stories they could have made into
dude.
A movie.
Shed would have been a completely different kind of Spider-Man movie. Would have been great. Simple story, only one villain.
What are you talking about?
Shed. The Lizard story.
The Lizard story. It's like one of my favorite fucking Spider-Man stories.
Huh.
Creepy as fuck. Or what was, well, you couldn't really do that as a movie.
See, so there's not a ton, but I'll
give you
Craven's
Last Hunt?
Craven's Last Hunt is fucking, that's like an all-time classic.
Yeah, but that's really a Craven story.
And now you're moving goalposts.
Oh, okay. Let's make a Spider-Man movie out of Craven's Last Hunt. Spider-Man will barely be in it, but it'll be about Craven. Okay, let's do it.
Well, that's the thing. They change stuff for movies. So they could
so
add
So it's
going
to be Spider-Man pretending to be Craven? I don't understand what you're getting at.
You just asked for good Spider-Man stories.
That they could have made into a movie.
I think you could adapt anything.
Yeah, that's why they change stuff. You just take a little bit here, a little bit there, throw it together, get a screenwriter, you got a movie. That's how they do it.
Dave, tell us about the ending of the Transformers continuity.
Okay, so apparently they're also ending the Michael Bay universe movies. I guess we're rebooting that. So, I don't know if this is all connected, but the IDW Generation 1 continuity, which is just a reimagining of the original one from the 80s, started off in 2005, and it's ending in September. So, we got 13 years worth. So, it's getting rebooted. I don't know what they're rebooting to or when. They had a shared Hasbro universe because for like the last couple of years, their cash cow was doing crossovers with G.I. Joe, the Revolutionaries, the Micronauts, ROM.
They ran out of crossovers. They're like, all right, it's over.
Visionaries. So yeah, it's ending. I don't know what they're going to do next, but my guess is it'll probably coincide with the reboot of the movies, I guess. That's all I really know.
All right, here's my question for you, Dave. Are we going to pick it up once they reboot?
I'd like to. That way I don't have to worry about the last 13 years.
There you go.
But they're getting at least a send-off. It's getting an ending.
I predict we'll read the first two issues, and then we'll just drop it. We'll be like, I don't want to read that anymore.
I kind of got in a kick in the last couple of years about it. The last couple of weeks about it. What's it called? I was watching some of the original ones, and then I started watching one of the Japanese ones, and then I started watching Transformers Prime, which is pretty good. That's a good show. You can find that online pretty easily. It's on Netflix.
Did you watch Transformers Super God Master Force?
I saw the Headmasters.
Oh, God. Super God Master Force is just the greatest name. And I'm sure it has nothing to do with anything it sounds like, which would be the Transformers fighting God.
No,
because it's Japan.
No, I think that's the one where, like, they turn into humans or something.
Nice.
That sounds stupid.
Yeah, they have, like,
Super God Master Force.
They got, like, human-looking bodies. But really, if the first couple of seasons of the original Transformers, they all connect to the Japanese G1 series. they're all connected as one continuity. The only difference is that the American version had an ending. That the last three episodes, it was called Reborn, and they turned into headmasters, and they kind of just like left it open, but kind of had an ending. So what the Japanese follow up to that was Headmasters, and what they did was ignore those last three episodes, and they took off from where they revived Optimus Prime, and then okay. that the what's it called, the Matrix was like lost all its power. So Headmasters was all about trying to refuel the Matrix, and Optimus dies again.
I want to read something on Super God Master Force from the Transformers Wikipedia.
By all means.
Talking about the cartoon, this is exactly what it says. For some inexplicable reason, this was the first Transformers cartoon to be shown in Russia, followed by other Japanese cartoons in wrong order, which left many Russian children very confused as far as continuity goes. There's no citation for this, so I think the writer might just be assuming.
Is this the TransformersWiki.net?
Yes.
Okay, if you read their a lot of the posts and entries, they're all jokes. So probably.
Oh, okay. Because I'm saying like this doesn't. There are no sources whatsoever. Citation needed, motherfucker.
Yeah, a lot of these are. Some of this is like real stuff, but a lot of that it's. If you read the rest of like these entries, you can kind of pick up on the ones that are fake and the ones that are real.
I often find fan wikis to be funny.
They're doing it purposely.
Because they'll just do whatever the fuck they want.
Isn't there an F4W wiki?
What's that?
Isn't there an F4W wiki?
There was one. I don't know about still. But there was one.
Dave asked that it be shut down.
Oh, you did?
No, I'm just guessing.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, by the way, the master, the god, super god Master Force, that was a sequel to the Headmasters.
Ah.
And that was the first one that started doing the traditional Japanese animation, by the way.
Oh, yeah, because they didn't really... They were robots.
The first two seasons... Well, I guess technically three, but the first three seasons were American. They were imported to Japan, those shows.
I was going to say when I was a kid, I didn't really get the sense it was from Japan, because it didn't look like Robotech.
No, it wasn't from Japan, but they did import it and translate it to Japanese. And then Headmasters was the follow-up, and they kind of kept the same style. But then Super God Master Force was, okay, we're going to go back to our Japanese animation stuff.
Let's get some big-eyed kids in here.
Yeah, and the reason why the Transformers was the way it was is because the animators at the time, the American ones, they were aware of Voltron and all these other super robot series, and they were afraid that no one actually knew how the hell to draw fighting robots. So they're like, we'll just have them talk a lot and, you know, use humor.
Did they ever do a crossover with what's the Japanese cartoon about the robots in space?
Which one?
The one that went on for like 50 fucking years, and it was like about a war, like a civil war, Gundam.
Oh,
yeah, what did about they it? Ever do a crossover?
No.
Aw.
No.
Damn it.
There was that one from Wing that could transform. Remember it was a jet and then would turn into a robot?
I looked up once, like, what order should I watch Gundam in? And I got like 5 minutes into one episode, and I'm like, no, I can't watch this.
There's different continuities of Gundam. There's like the main one.
Oh, I found that out.
Yeah. Really, like the only one you got to watch, if you just want to watch a reimagining of the original one, Gundam Seed. Watch Gundam Seed and then Gundam Seed Destiny, and then that's it. You don't need to watch anything else.
I started watching, I believe, the original one.
I watched the whole original one.
It was not to my taste.
It's fine, you know. There was for 1979, it's not that bad.
We're so off on a tangent here.
That's fine.
But I remember seeing, it was a Japanese cartoon, and it was like about these big, like, space cruisers in outer space, and it was a lot of guys with German names.
Oh, that's Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
I fucking loved that when I was a kid. I have no idea if it's good. I just remember thinking that was epic as shit, but it was probably mostly people standing on a ship talking.
Kind of. Although, you know what? They're actually doing a reboot of that. It's coming out next month.
Oh, was it over? Was it a popular show?
It was based on some Japanese novels, so I guess it was popular for the people who like the novels.
Why do the Japanese give German names to everything to do with
Well, in their case, they were trying to read, it's like the far future, and they're trying to do like the Prussians and, you know, the way they do their battles are based on like the Prussian lines, you know, the way they would do line battles, and they can't really like target.
Well, no, I just mean like if you look at like old video games, like they would give them German names. Like it was a really weird thing. Like for some reason in Japan, they associate war with Germany, possibly because the last war they were in involved Germany.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's just a weird thing. Or maybe, I don't know, German's fun to say when you're Japanese.
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not Japanese.
You don't say.
No, not at all.
Breaking news. All right, I think that's going to do it for this week's news. All right, with that out of the way, let's move on to our next segment.
This week's books.
That's awesome, Alex.
It's, okay, not all the songs in that game were combinations, but some of them were. And there's a code you can put in where it plays Mega Man version of Guile's theme in every single level. Which is...
That's Mega Man and who?
That's Mega Man and Ryu's theme mix. It's from Street Fighter X Mega Man.
Oh, okay.
Which was a fan game that Capcom saw and liked and ended up giving money to and picking up.
They endorsed it.
Yeah, and they put it out for free.
Yeah, How about that?
Have you played that game?
No, I'm looking at it now. It looks
funny.
You
should probably check that out. It's a really good game.
It's good. Like, all the bosses are just Street Fighter characters, but they have all their moves from Street Fighter.
It's. I remember when that first came out, I was like obsessed with it. It's a really good game.
It was fun.
Yeah, you fight all the Street Fighter characters, and then Bison's the final boss. But of course, it's because of Street Fighter, he's not really the final boss.
Well,
it's always Akuma.
There's a gimmick. Like you have to beat like five of the bosses without taking damage, and if you do that, then it doesn't matter which bosses. It's just you beat X amount of them without taking damage, and Akuma comes down and hits Bison, and then you fight Akuma. Like in Street Fighter.
There you go. All right, let's go into this week's books, which include EXO Manowar 13, Shadow Man 1, Legion 3, Daredevil 600, Avengers 686, Saga 50, Terrifics 2, Flash 43, Doomsday Clock, and open up this week's books, we have Alex's solo review of Dark Knight's Metal issue number 6. Alex, the floor
Dark
is yours.
Dark Knight's Metal issue number 6, the most important comic ever. So, I was talking to Tony about this, and I said, I was reminding him we hated Bendis events, because nothing ever happened. This comic, more happened in this one comic than every Bendis crossover combined. Just one single issue. Now, the problem with that is, because Snyder's not a very good writer, the fact that so much happened meant none of it had any impact whatsoever. Because it was like, something happened, something happened, something happened, something happened. And about a quarter of the way through this, I'm like, all right, I'm fucking tired of it. And also, this is really stupid. So, the whole thing with Metal is, it's called Metal because there are these 10 special metals in the DC multiverse. And you have to collect them all, and then it opens a gateway to the fucking the dark multiverse, and everything gets sucked down, and it's bad. So we're at the end of the story, and Barbatos, the evil guy who lives in the ruler of the dark multiverse, is trying to suck the DC world down into the dark multiverse. Well, the DC normal multi. He's trying to suck the multiverse into the dark multiverse. Now, we find out in this issue, this is where it got really ridiculous.
This is where it got really ridiculous.
Yes, there's the antimatter universe.
Oh, God.
The normal universe, and then the dark multiverse is actually a different thing because his big plan was the Batman Who Laughs had the monitor in a cave, and he also had the anti-monitor's brain. And his energy, which was dark energy, along with the monitor, which is positive energy, and the antimatter, which is antimatter, would merge and then destroy everything. So Batman stops this by Batman shows up, and he's fighting him. And this is just a problem with the art, largely. He's fighting the Batman Who Laughs, and he's not winning. And he explains to him, this is because I have as much training as you. Now, if they are equally trained, but the Batman Who Laughs is lacking about 120 pounds of muscle, which is evident from the art, wouldn't Batman then win? Because they're evenly matched, but he's stronger. But it's okay, because Batman came up with a plan. You see, Batman's strength comes from the fact that he is a genius, and he predicts everything. Kind of like Taskmaster without superpowers. So he did the one thing the Batman Who Laughs would never predict, and that is he brought the Joker with him to fight. So we had the return of the Joker, who helped Batman to defeat the Batman Who Laughs. While this is going on, Hawkman, who I'm not going to try to explain it, was a bad guy, became a good guy again. So Hawkman came back. Also during this, Plastic Man came back. He was still an egg. They didn't explain how he came back, apparently because they banged two pieces of metal together. And they all had to get to, I'm not making any of this up, they all had to get to a mystical tuning fork, which they would hit, and it would fix everything. They never explained how this worked. Wonder Woman ended up getting a hold of Element X, which came from the Forge in the Dark Multiverse. Here's the problem with this. They said, that's 10th metal. But then they were like, also called Element X. Here's the issue. The Dark Multiverse was unknown, but Element X is actually in the DC Universe. Element X is what the New Gods use to power all their shit, like the Mother Boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there was a story problem in that if they had never been to the Dark Multiverse, how the fuck do the New Gods power all their shit with stuff from the Dark Multiverse? Didn't make any sense, but that was okay. She ends up getting the 10th metal is very vaguely defined. It can pretty much do anything. It gave her Superman and Batman fancy silver armor. They looked like gay knights. they were absolutely fabulous. Batman realized we all need this armor, so he took the 10th metal, fashioned it into batarangs, and then whipped the batarangs at everyone. So now all the heroes have shiny gay armor, which is good, which they use to fight. Also, Batman rode on top of a Joker dragon.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was the cover, I believe.
That was really stupid because the Joker dragon design looks fucking retarded. The art wasn't overall bad, but a lot of the designs are kind of dumb. So all the people who were trapped in this big mountain thing, it turned out they all had to join together and, like, think positive thoughts. their positive thoughts combined with the power of the 10th metal would raise the Earth away from the dark multiverse. But all this energy they created shot out, and it shattered the source wall. Why is that a big deal? The source wall is the wall created around the DC multiverse. So Batman assumes that the source wall was built to keep out whatever is outside the multiverse. So he has a party. And when I say a party, I mean he has a bunch of heroes come to his house to eat. And then they go in another room, and he has, like, a disco ball set up and a DJ. and a band, and they all dance. But then he explains to Wonder Woman and Superman, like, hey, it's pretty scary. There's something so threatening that they had to build a fucking wall around the multiverse, and we don't know what's out there. So we need to change something. And on his desk, we saw the plans for the Hall of Justice, thus explaining why we're going to have 8 million Justice League teams, because we need this many to defend against the threat from outside the source wall.
This is all one book?
This was all in one book, and I'm actually leaving stuff out. This is just what I remember. So yeah, a lot happened in this, but too much happened in it. It did set up for what Snyder is doing. What he's doing is kind of stupid. The clever thing to do here would be, what is outside the source wall? What is outside the DC multiverse? The fucking Marvel multiverse, and we finally get a crossover. That'd be awesome. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But yeah, they tried to give it a reason for doing the multiple Justice League teams and stuff. But this was ridiculous, and Scott Snyder's not a very good writer. He doesn't know how to pace a story.
The thing is, there's a lot of good ideas there, but the execution sounds bad. Had you put a really good editor on, you could have really made this into a really good book.
Here's the problem. It read like a Michael Bay comic. He had lots of things happen and lots of things that you would say, wow, that's cool. He explained fucking nothing. Nothing was explained in this comic. Nothing was explained in this series. Oh, they also had the page where, because of all the shit that happened, all these new people got superpowers. And that explains, like, Sideways and the Immortal Men book. All these fucking new books is because, oh, the Dark Multiverse thing caused a bunch of people to get superpowers. How? But they did, and they showed all of them.
They should have wrote that.
And there weren't a lot of good character designs. Like, one of the guys on the Immortal Men team looks kind of cool. But other than that, like, you know, Sideways looks like Spider-Man in gray. But, you know, the character designs weren't that great overall. But they also weren't full color. So, I don't know. It was stupid, but I can't say I was bored.
That's the biggest backhanded compliment ever.
Well, it's just... You got to pace yourself. You can't have all this stuff happen in one comic and expect me to give a shit.
It's like Russo.
So I give it a... It was like a Russo... Like when Russo, like, comes to a new company and he does 8 million things. It was like that. Scott Snyder is Vince Russo.
But successful.
Because he can't follow through. Well, Vince Russo was successful at getting jobs.
Yeah, but Snyder's successful
but so is Rob Liefeld. He's successful
at
getting jobs.
Yeah, he's also successful at getting jobs, and he has nothing to show for. Vince Russo can at least write a good first part of the story. But Snyder, he can't write anything else.
But Snyder's a draw.
Russo's
no, don't even try.
I think it's more impressive to not be a draw and continue to get work than to be a draw and keep getting work.
Got a point there.
Yeah. Because it means you're doing something.
Not necessarily something right, but you're doing something.
Well, yeah. But that's it. That was Dark Knight's Metal. You should have read it.
Because
I didn't know what was going on, and I've read the whole thing.
I may go back and read it because parts of what, like I said, I'm going to repeat myself because it's absolutely true. There's some really good ideas there. And had they sit down with him with a good editor, they could have told a really good story. And the thing is, they pushed this Dark Metals thing kind of hard, but considering all the stuff that happened, they didn't push it nearly hard enough.
Well, the big problem with it was the villain was shit. Like, Barbatos was basically like, you know how you get to the end of a Japanese RPG and you end up fighting, like, chaos or pure evil? Like, you fight the profound darkness, and it has no character, it's just evil. That's kind of what this guy was. He had no motivations. He was just evil. To be evil.
Reminds that me was of, it. That's like Dragon Quest IV.
See, I can't compare it to that.
There's an ultimate evil.
And they punched it?
That's always the weirdest thing. It's like this ultimate evil force, and they're fighting it with swords.
Can't, well.
They got magic, too.
I think the thing, it's like, they're so strong that they swing the swords with more force. And the swords are special, so they don't break. That's what I tell them. Or sometimes the swords have a gun handle, and they don't work in any kind of realistic context. But for some reason in the game, they work. By the way, when I was saying that, I was moving my hand as if I was swinging a sword. I couldn't control myself.
Nerd.
Fucking gun blade. That's a stupid.
Hey, people bought it. Hey, and that wouldn't be in the pantheon of RPGs, that would be the less goofier of the swords. Need I remind you, Kingdom Hearts and the Keyblade?
Yeah, that's like he's fighting fucking blobs of goo. Like, that's okay. To hit him with a key. Big fucking key.
But you're fighting all these other things that aren't necessarily.
It would probably hurt. Like, if you got hit with a giant key, that would hurt like a son of a bitch.
Maybe.
Just saying. He should have held it and, like, fucking stab people with it, like, give him the stinger, but with a giant key.
I don't think he'd kill anybody with it, though.
Rake it across their faces. It's got teeth, man.
Teeth.
All right, with that out of the way, let's go into our first group review. Doomsday Clock. Issue 4, writer Jeff Johns, art by Gary Frank. The slow-working Gary Frank.
This was the origin of the new Rorschach.
Yes.
Which also gave a little background on Ozymandias. So he is, in fact, the kid of Rorschach's shrink. And he isn't, like, just straight copying Rorschach. What happened was, through a lot of coincidence, actually. So he was there when the fake alien killed everyone. He didn't die, but they revealed a lot of people went crazy from it. He was one of the ones who went crazy from it. So he got locked up in a crazy house. Well, who was in the crazy house? Mothman was in the crazy house. And Mothman decided to teach him how to be a superhero, which he would know how to do because he was one of the Minutemen, I guess, was the, even though he said he was never a fighter, he still taught him how to fight.
Pretty much, yeah.
So Mothman trained him to be a superhero, and he ended up, Mothman was like building his own wings and escaping from the institution all the time, but he always came back, and he like went to his dad's house because his mom and dad were dead, and he got all his dad's stuff, so he got to read all about Rorschach and that.
This sounds like the complete opposite of Dark Knight's Metal, where this is really good.
Well, it focused on one thing. My issue with this was, it's like, did we, like, does us knowing who this new Rorschach is have any real bearing on anything that's been going on for the last 3 years? And the answer is no. The one thing they did show is, like, the shrink who was talking to him in present day was secretly Batman.
Yeah, that.
Trying to find out what's going on. So, that was good. But other than that, and showing, like, how he met up with Ozymandias. Like, he went, because Mothman, and I didn't understand this either, Mothman kind of told him where Ozymandias was. I don't know how he would have known that. So he went there with a gun and was going to kill Ozymandias. But Ozymandias was all like, oh, I made a mistake and I didn't see until now what I did was wrong, but we could save the world and you can come with me. And that's why he came with him. He wanted to kill him because the fake alien killed his parents and, you know, a bunch of other people and made him crazy. But since he's now trying to save the world, he's just going along with him.
Okay. This, how can I put it this way? I feel kind of weird for liking this because, you know, it's even though I don't hold Watchmen in this high regard that most people do, I feel weird for liking it because there is that stigma with anything that's Watchmen that's not the original.
It was a well-told story, like, as far as this happened. Oh, and I left out the biggest thing. He was in Arkham. He was across from Saturn Girl, and she helped him escape.
Yeah. Okay. Why was she like, oh, I've been batting around in your head? I don't know anything about Saturn Girl.
She has mind powers.
Oh, okay. That she plays mind games with.
Well, she wasn't playing mind games. She did say, like, as he's recapping the story, she's like, she basically said, like, oh, I've been in your head. You're really fucked up. Let's go. So, yeah. Here's the issue. The only Watchmen character I have any interest in, since this isn't really Rorschach, is Doc Manhattan. And the other thing I'm most interested in is the Legion, who they have not announced a Legion coming back. And really all we got is Saturn Girl. And I kind of want the Justice Society back, but we didn't see Johnny Thunder in this one. A lot of the stuff I'm interested in this is like side shit that was first teased in that Rebirth book years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like very slowly doling a little bit out.
Well, unlike the Dark Knight's Metal book where you had a million things happen, I think because Johns is calling the shots on this one, he has a longer end game and that may go past this.
Well, it's 12 issues and we're on issue 4.
And they did sort of throw away an issue with this one because, like you mentioned earlier, it's like, yeah, we know who this new Rorschach is, but does it matter?
No, but I guess he has time to.
Was this always supposed to have been 12 issues? That's yes. My question. Okay, because this kind of felt like, remember that one issue of Secret Wars where nothing really happened, and it was because, you know, Hickman said, oh, I'm planning the epilogue, and it's like, no, you're not. You just had one issue where
No, he just wants to, like, he introduced these characters, and he just wants to develop them. I mean, I can't imagine they'll stick around. Because this character, what they showed is, he's not like Rorschach in that he's a crazy guy who wants to fight crime. He went crazy and put on the Rorschach mask so he could go kill Ozymandias. Like, that was about it. It was much, and now he's trying to save the world, and he knows how to fight, but he's never really been a superhero, because the first thing he did after he put the mask on was found Ozymandias, and the second thing he did was come to the DC universe. That was it.
Yeah, I'll try to defend this then. Because you can't just
I'm not
have...
attacking it.
Go ahead.
I'm not attacking it.
No, but I'm just saying this kind of felt like a lateral movement where...
It was.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of progression of the main story. This
wasn't about plot. This was about the characters in the plot.
Well, and now I'm attempting to defend this by saying you show another Rorschach and he's clear... Well, no, I wouldn't say it clearly. But it's another guy, so you have to explain why it's another guy.
Yeah.
And why he has the persona.
Well, I mean, the why is because Rorschach is dead, but the how is...
Well, they could always do the thing where, you know, since this is a quote-unquote sequel...
Well, comedian's alive, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He could have reconstituted him or something.
Maybe he couldn't bring Rorschach back to life because he's the one who killed him. Or something. Because Doc Manhattan killed Rorschach, but Comedian just got thrown out a window.
I'm sure we'll get some explanation.
Well, probably not, actually. I think this is all we're going to get.
I think they're going to explain why Comedian...
He couldn't bring Rorschach back to life?
Yeah. Because the thing is...
Well, he could now, actually, because the reason he killed Rorschach was because Rorschach was going to go tell what Ozymandias did.
Yeah.
And Doc Manhattan agreed with Ozymandias and thought, no, this will bring peace to the world. Rorschach ended up fucking it all up anyway, because of his journal.
Yes. Well, maybe he held a grudge.
Yeah. Well, then again, I can't explain why he'd bring Comedian back to life, so.
Lols.
No, because he was banging Comedian's daughter. He knew he was a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't have a... can't defend this one. Oops.
Oh, doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
The other one is the real Rorschach never would have worked with Ozymandias.
Maybe that's it, too.
Yeah, he just... because this guy's not exactly the same. Like, Rorschach, his defining character trait was he was, like, ridiculously black and white. Like, there was never any compromise. This guy clearly is not like that. He's crazy, but he's crazy in a different way.
I haven't read a ton of John's, but I read his Justice League. And he can be a bad writer. This was
he
not.
He could also be a good writer.
I felt like because this is attached to Watchmen, he's like, okay, can't just phone it in like I did Justice League. I have to actually try here. And with that said, it was actually really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed.
All right, Flash 43, writer Joshua Williams, art by Carmen de Giamoncio.
They cured Gorilla Grodd. Yeah, he cured
Grodd. This was mostly Grodd fucking with him, like, oh, all you care about is the power. But then Barry revealed that when he had that lightning rod, he altered it
in order to fix him, that
it would cure Gorilla Grodd, but it would also sever him from... it gave him enough of the speed force to cure him, but then it would suck it out so he had no speed force. This did, however, did not please Grodd, who's like, well, if I don't have the power, I don't have anything, and I'm going to take the fucking city and all you with me. And he went and he, like, did something to his machine that's going to destroy Central City, which is bad news.
He got the reverse, didn't he get, the reverse Flash powers or something?
Oh, he's like, channeling the negative speed force.
Yeah.
I believe that's what happened,
And create a different, more destructive storm that will destroy the city. And kill Flash, because Flash fucking ruined him. They had one moment where they tried to make you feel bad for Grodd. Because, like, you know, he got kicked out of Gorilla City. Like, he was trying to help him and, like, make him smarter. But they kicked him out for it. So they had, like, the sepia-toned, like, three panels where it was, like, young Gorilla Grodd and he looked all sad. But, you know, right after that, he's just punching Barry in the face and screaming about power. So, no, I didn't feel bad for him.
Just a monkey.
The other thing was Flash gave this big, long speech about how, like, you know, he'd never fight, like, the Flash family. Since the next storyline is Flash War, I'm not sure how that's going to work out. Like, if he's not willing to punch these people.
It could be other Flash. We don't know who it pertains to.
How many fucking...
Hey, maybe Johns took offense to the fact that, you know, he had the one Flash and people were complaining. He's like, oh, we like... they had the Flash extended family. He's like, oh, you like the... you want more Flashes, huh?
Well... oh, yeah, maybe he looked at the... he's like, well, John's brought back the Green Lantern Corps, and there's 3,000 of them, so maybe we need 3,000 Flashes.
He is the... well, no, wait, this is Joshua Williamson.
Yeah, Johns isn't writing
that. I was about to say...
Johns is only writing the big book.
Johns is the one who made the other Lantern Corps, so maybe he could be like, well, let's make all these other Flash quadrants.
He brought the Green Lantern Corps back, and then he decided to make, like, 10 more Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, I don't know what the end game in all this is of Flash War.
It's probably just a storyline. The first cover is like Captain Cold's all imposing in the background and has flashes in scales. I don't know what that means.
And where are scales?
Like measuring scales.
Oh, okay. Huh, well, there you go.
There's more but, yeah, they didn't. They didn't. They won, but they didn't win.
Yeah, because the end game was because Grodd was trying to make everyone sympathetic towards his cause because he's like, well, you know, I'm dying, so that's why I need the Flash power. And then as soon as Flash fixes him, he's like, well, it's like I wanted the power too.
Well, yeah, because he's fucking evil. He's a evil, crazy gorilla who wants to take over the world. Like, Flash ain't buying that shit. The only thing is, it's like, yeah, like, you caused this problem, but now there are fucking five good people with Flash powers. And you're a fucking monkey.
A psychic monkey?
Or he's a gorilla.
Well, yeah, you're a gorilla. Like, I get it, you got mind powers, and you're big, and you're strong, but it's fucking five Flashes, one Flash beats you on the regular. You're fucked now. I'd be worried the Godspeed would, like, you know, vibrate through him and explode him.
Godspeed.
I still don't really trust him.
They've done enough stuff with him already. I think he's not going back.
Well, bring Bart Allen back.
That's what I'm thinking.
Waves like that? That's not according to plate tectonics.
Nice, Dave. Nice. All right, let's move on
next
to our
book.
Next book. Terrifics issue 2, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Ivan Rez.
I don't know any of these characters, so I was confused by that.
I didn't know the Phantom Girl, but that's because she's a new character.
Yeah, she's
a new
character.
Okay, who's everyone else besides Plastic Man? I know him.
Mr. Terrific is like Science Batman.
Okay.
Plastic Man is...
Yes, I know him.
Plastic Man. Metamorpho has the power where he can change anything. Thing into he has molecule man powers, kind of.
Okay,
sort of.
It's actually, if you get right down to it, the one thing I was realizing is this might be like, just with Plastic Man and Metamorpho, theoretically this is the most powerful team in comics.
Yeah, because the one thing I kept reading when everyone talking about Terrifics, they kept putting over how strong Plastic Man is. Like, he can seemingly do anything. His strength is unlimited.
That's the thing when I was talking to you about, because you were comparing. Oh, I forgot one other thing. Dark Knight's Metal, Challenger Mountain, the home of the mountains, or the home of the challengers of the unknown, which is DC's Fantastic Four, who had not been in the New 52, was because Challenger Mountain for some reason was in the Dark Multiverse, and now it's back in the Rockies. So that was another thing that happened. They didn't show it; they just said it. Okay, but that is connected because Fantastic Four. When you were comparing it to Fantastic Four, and I was like, no, actually, Plastic Man has different powers. And he really does have different powers.
It's Mr. Fantastic. What I was trying to tell you, it's not a one-for-one comparison, but that's what they're going with this group.
Eh.
Who's the invisible person then?
Well, the Phantom Girl. I mean, and... Well, the big thing is at the end of this, they had the hook where apparently, kind of like, it was more like Quantum and Woody. Because if they get separated from each other, they explode.
They gotta be together.
Yeah, and the Phantom Girl, if she takes solid form, she also explodes.
Yeah, because she's been in that negative universe thing for like ages.
She had like a really sad story. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of Superman.
Well, yeah, because the parents tried to save her, but then what they ultimately did is they made it out just fine. But she was the one that got stranded on the negative planet.
They sent her to the Dark Multiverse where she lived, just her and a bunch of spider monsters, not touching anything.
And did they explain why none of the spider monsters tried to kill her? Like, they were just
they can't touch her.
Oh, okay.
She's a phantom.
Because she couldn't like go
materialize.
Solid.
Yeah, she couldn't materialize.
That's why she got excited when they got out of there, and she's like, "Oh, I can go solid now." And when she did, everything started blowing up.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
That was bad, but yeah. So the reason there, because they were gonna split up. Like, Mr. Terrific's like, "Okay, well, I gotta go work on this shit, so I'm gonna leave now."
He's like, "Ta,"
and which is funny because Metamorpho just said, "Wow, he's kind of a dick." Which I laughed at, and he was, because he's just like, later, and the girl's like, but you're going to find a way for me to be physical without killing everyone. He's like, yeah, but I got to work on that in my lab. I'll come back for you.
Yeah, like, I promise.
Yeah, fucking asshole. But when he left, he started blowing up, so he had to come back. So that's what's going to keep them together as a team. They physically have to be around each other, which would get really fucking annoying, I think.
Especially when you're with Plastic Man all the time.
Yeah, because Plastic Man's annoying as fuck. He never shuts up.
And then also the gimmick with Metamorpho is, you know, he looks horrifying and he feels bad.
Yeah, but he has a girlfriend now.
Oh, and Ben doesn't?
Oh. Well, yeah, but Ben's girlfriend is blind.
Again, it's not a one-for-one comparison, but that's what they're going with.
She can't see him. This girl can see Metamorpho. She's just like, whatever. Metamorpho's not all bummed about the way he looks anymore.
Hmm. Right, that's going to do it for the DC portion of the show. Let's move on to Image with Saga, issue 50, writer Brian K. Vaughan, artist Fiona Staples.
This book is great.
So this book opened up with exploding female ejaculation.
Yes.
Is it just me, or have they been doing more nudity and sex lately?
Well, because, I mean...
Like, are sales slipping?
You know what I think it is? I think it's because we've... Well, at least for me, this is my theory. I haven't been reading comics in a while, so I've... You know, like, before I used to be desensitized to all this? Maybe it was going on before, I just didn't notice because I've just been desensitized.
I just...
No, because I've been reading, I've never stopped reading this book. I've read every single issue. I never took time off like you guys. This one kind of took me for a loop. It's like they haven't been really doing that much as far as the sex stuff, and then they just came out of left field. Because the one dude's got his dong out, and then, like you mentioned earlier with the ejaculate, it's like, wow.
Yeah, it just seems like they're doing it to.
For the sake of doing it?
Yeah, to show they can. Like, it doesn't bother, like, I'm not a prude or anything. It doesn't bother me. It's just like, you know, I'm kind of like, did I really need this? And I didn't know she could fly. I thought she, like, cut her wings. But she was clearly flying in this. It's a small thing, but, you know, because she just has a little.
Maybe she can float. Wings. But isn't it magic? I can't remember. Because I remember, I know what you're talking about, but I'm like, I'm trying to remember if there was something.
Well, I just thought because Hazel, she never clipped her wings, so she has longer wings. So I think she would be able to actually use the wings.
They
did
mention, now, obviously, they didn't use the magic for them having sex, but they established that, you know, they have used magic on each other before. So I'm thinking maybe that's it. Or maybe
we also found out Hazel can do magic.
Oh, my favorite part in this book is so-and-so's teaching her how to fight, and she's like, oh, that's great, you really did deliver that kick really well, you broke that robotic animatronic. He's like, we just have to learn to teach you how to do kicks without saying hi-ya before you do it.
Or no, kapow.
Kapow.
She says kapow whenever she hits something.
That's great.
She's bummed, though, because her trainer... tranny girl, is leaving with Prince Robot when he leaves. And she's really upset with that because Prince Robot is taking his son. And his son is the only kid her age.
Yeah.
So she's upset about that because obviously they don't stick in one place like long enough for her to like make friends. So this is like her only friend. But he's also Prince Robot's son has decided he doesn't want to, you know, get a new body and go with his dad. He's going to run away. And, yeah, so there's that.
What was the stuff that was happening with the journalist, the guy got killed?
I don't think you read that.
Yeah, so what happened was Prince Robot, he, from a robot prostitute, he learned of some shady thing that the people in the war did, and he was gonna give them the story. If they got that story, they wouldn't tell the Alana Marco story. Because it was also a big story.
But because the story would be so such a big deal that both sides would come looking for Prince Robot and his son, So what the journalist, they promised him is like, well, if you sell us, give us your story, you know, tell us all your source and everything as well as, you know, the main gist of the story here. We can put you in like witness relocation, but it wouldn't just be where they send him to another planet or give him a different name. No, they literally would use magic to give them new bodies.
Yeah. So that's what he was talking about. Like, well, I'm not really attached to this busted up shit. I'll get a new, hopefully handsome face, he said. I didn't know who the blue guy was. He used to work with the journalists, but
they work as a team.
He's like their editor or
something. The one on the other planet. Yeah,
Well, because he was in the end, and the girl had, I believe that was the Will. He's like her slave now. But he was in a funny costume.
Yeah, I do like that he's wearing the costume again. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. She's captured the Will and is killing people and is looking for those reporters.
Yeah, because I forget the exact of it because this book takes so much time off. I think I've read from the previous issues that I think it was the Will killed her husband.
Yes.
And now
yes, that's
what it was. She's on a murderous rampage. So I don't know when and how she made nice with the Will, but now she's going after all.
She didn't make nice with him. She found him naked on like some planet.
Yeah, that's right.
And she made him lose weight and kept him as a slave.
Because he was in a coma, that's right.
Yeah, because he's fat.
He's fat!
Fat ass! But he's not anymore. Now he looks really sad.
Now he's wearing
lickety
split.
A stupid costume.
Fat son of a bitch.
He had to run, lickety split, but he can't run because he's fat ass! God, when is Scott Steiner going in the Hall of Fame? Well, they put Jeff Jarrett in.
Well, why do you want him to go in the Hall of Fame so he can cut a radar?
Yeah,
promo?
So he can fucking shoot.
Okay,
at the Hall of
not
Fame, like
put,
they were worried Cornette was gonna do.
They may be willing to look at all this, look past all the stuff he said before in the past.
You know what the problem is?
What?
He had those bad matches with Triple H, and Triple H is taking over the company. I don't think Triple H will be as forgiving as Vince.
Out of your fat asses all night long because you got some fat asses. The only chance you have no chance, but you had a chance, is that you can run lickety split. Because you can't run because you got some fat asses.
From this.
He's fat!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony. Sorry. What happened was iTunes thing started playing like a playlist. So I was playing drops, but then I was like, oh, you want to play a whole playlist, right? And I'm like, no, I just want to play the drop.
Well, whatever. That was fucking awesome.
Yes. All right.
Badasses.
But, yeah, this was, again, another great issue of Saga, and I'm glad I picked it. You're welcome.
It's not much of a leap.
I'll again point out, you did not write this. If you didn't pick it, somebody else would have picked it. We always read this
but
book.
You didn't.
No, because I knew you were going. I also didn't pick Days of Hate, which I downloaded, but I haven't read yet because we didn't do it for the show.
As long as we're talking about picks, I'm sort of like, you had no faith that I would pick Terrifics, or you just wanted to pick it?
I got really excited that I had 5 books this time. So I was like, oh fuck, I got 5 books. What's up? And there was another book. Oh yeah, it was Metal. I'm like, you fuckers, I have to read this. And you're like, nope, 5 books. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think me and Dave are content not having read Metal.
Yeah.
God, you should have read it. We're going to read fucking Infinity Wars. Nothing's gonna happen in it. God, and you're gonna regret not reading this mess.
It's gonna be so bad. Alright, that's gonna do it for the image portion of the show. Let's move on to Marvel with Avengers 686, writer Mark Waid and art by Paco Medina.
Hulk is smart.
Yeah, well, sort of. Well, he's a cognizant, self-aware, Hulk. But evil.
He's not like
He's not Banner. He's the the actual personality of the Hulk.
There was the Hulk who wore clothes.
Yes.
When Peter David was writing it, and he wore clothes, and he was as smart as Banner, but he was Hulk. I think he was a little less strong. This Hulk is peak strength Hulk, like Savage Hulk, but he can talk.
Yes.
And he wanted to destroy the world so that Hulk could be the only one there is.
Yes, he wants to be alone.
I don't know why he doesn't just get fucking put on a... There was a Justice League story where you can't kill Shaggy Man, so they put Shaggy Man on an asteroid. And he just floated around. Like, they could have done that with Hulk. He would have been alone. I don't know why he didn't ask.
Because he's dumb.
He's an idiot.
He's a fat son of a bitch.
Dave's on a kick of that lately, and it's killing me now. You have my permission to abuse this.
Voyager was inspired. I'm trying to get through this.
Funnier, the more I think about it.
Voyager was inspired by how well they fought together, so decided to team up with them. And Hulk responded by fucking bitch slapping her across the room. But then he took the pyramid and he smashed it. Which might have been because Wonder Man was getting through to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he did turn into Banner in the end.
Yeah, he did.
But he smashed it, and what happened was Voyager was explaining who she was, and Challenger's like, hey, you fucking cheated. And Grandmaster's like, nah, technically under the rules, I didn't cheat. So I won, and Challenger's like, no, fuck you. And he, like,
kills him.
Shot him in half.
I guess he kills him.
I don't know if the Elders of the Universe can die.
Well,
he's certainly trying. He's not from a lack of trying. I don't know how long this has been a thing. It's obviously hasn't been that long, considering he's been in other books, and I've seen remember him doing stuff. But Wonder Man being a pacifist... How long has that been a thing?
Since, like, forever.
Oh, it's so great.
Well, no, because he used to fight.
No, he fought in the beginning because he was, like, manipulated, but that was, like, short-lived. And then
is he always on superhero teams then? What does he do?
His brother was the villain and kind of coerced him to become – he was originally known as Power Man. That was, like, his first identity. This is before Luke Cage. This is the 60s. And he ends up dying, like, in that same issue, I think. And then he – I can't remember exactly how he came back to life, but it had something to do with whatever the powers they gave him originally.
Well, they mentioned this issue that he couldn't die, so I presume that has to do something with it.
Well, because he's a being of ionic energy, so he doesn't have a body. That's not really his body. Like, if you break it, he'll just, like, reform it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's nothing new. He's been like that since he's been Wonder Man. Because he became Wonder Man years later. They used his mind to basically create Vision. Like, his pattern, I guess, was partially used
they
for
used
Vision.
Yeah,
so.
his mind pattern. So he's it's basically like a copy of
Vision was Man. Definitely not a pacifist, though.
I feel like there's a really good story with Wonder Man being a pacifist and in the confines of a comic book story.
All he can do is save people.
Yeah, that's cool.
He can't fight.
I don't know. If God forbid if I ever become a writer, that's probably one of the first characters I'd want to try to do something with. Because I feel like there's something there. Remember, that comic book show, the one with Kevin Smith, someone got a tattoo of Wonder Man.
Oh, that was a comic book man.
Yeah, see, there's a character for everybody out there.
Yeah, and that's his favorite character.
Yeah, because that show was kind of like for like casuals, but the fact that somebody wanted to get a tattoo of what?
I said that guy must be a pussy. Get a tattoo of somebody fucking cool like Deathstroke.
I think he's maybe trying to make a statement.
Fucking Punisher. I would get a Punisher tattoo and fucking find that guy and punch him in the mouth.
It's funny, ever since all the stuff with the Lethal Legion, the whatever it's Thanos is, I should know the name of him because I'm a big Hickman Mark, but as soon as they stopped fighting them and they started dealing with the Hulk, this book got really good really fast. And dealing with Voyager.
Yeah, it got better once Hulk got in.
Because at first it was just like, oh, okay, they're fighting and they're punching and I don't care. Now, like I said, I figured out why the book is set up like this with so many parts. It's basically they're using this to phase out all the Avengers books.
Yeah. So they should have killed more people because they haven't really killed anyone.
I have to imagine this book is probably takes place for the Uncanny Avengers title because this had so much Rogue in it. Y'all?
Y'all.
Well, they've tried to give moments to everyone.
I think it's more so if you were happen to be reading that one book, I think that's why they focus on characters. Because, like, let's say you, for some reason while you're pulled...
Something for everybody.
It's more so, like, if you have Occupy Avengers on your pull list for whatever reason why, you got the issue that focused on Hawkeye and the Native American. And because if your pull list has Uncanny Avengers, you got this book because it dealt so heavily with Rogue.
I just think that's incorrect thinking. Like I said last time,
it's not a coincidence. You do not need 12 issues to tell the story, and it's not a coincidence that all the Avengers books are being phased out.
Sure.
Let's move on to Daredevil 600, writer Charles Soule, art by Ron Garney.
Okay. I think I'm going to have disagreements here. Can I just say I thought this was like a really weak issue?
That was great.
Aside from the Kingpin Daredevil part,
yeah,
I'd seen it a lot, but I still thought it was good. The rest of this was mostly Daredevil hanging out and watching stuff happen, and then none of the heroes being in this comic made any impact on the comic whatsoever. They were just there so they could say, oh, the heroes got arrested. They didn't really do anything. They didn't say a lot. Like, I did not like this issue, and it was issue 600, right?
Yes, this was a 600th issue.
I just thought he could, like,
they
have
did
a big
nothing with
Daredevil
it.
Fight or something.
Like, I was waiting for that. It's like we got a mini fight. We got the mini fight with Kingpin, and the mini fight with Blindspot and Muse. Which I guess he killed Muse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was big. Blindspot got the big thing.
Although, what is this demon that inhibits him? I'm like...
The hand is now controlled by a demon monster called the Beast.
Oh, okay.
So, he got his eyes from the hand.
Okay.
This evil demon thing. Oh, by the way, this is a side note on the NXT TakeOver conference call. Triple H put over Dave.
He also put over Adam Cole.
Well, yeah, but that's, he fucking hired him. Like, that doesn't shock me, but he put over Dave Meltzer and told Dave to call him. He's trying to show how different he is from Vince. He's like, hey, call me and tell me, how I can get Kenny Omega to come work NXT. Have 7-star matches.
He's like, oh yeah, all hell. No, he's like, how about you throw some of those 5 stars my way?
Well, no, because nobody wants 5 stars anymore.
He gave him one this already this year.
Maybe he wants a 6-star.
And that was Triple H's too, because it was in NXT.
Maybe he wants a 6-star match.
Yeah, he probably does. He's like, how can I get a 6-star match? And Dave's like, well, you know,
Kenny does certain favors for me, if you know what I mean. Wink.
You know, you got a Kenny Omega Okada, and hey, we forgot to talk about Connor.
We forgot. Oh my god, we forgot to talk about Conan.
Oh my god.
Hey, I got a question about, like, they're fucking talking about NXT. He's like, yeah, Paul, I just want to ask a question. Ronda Rousey, what does she eat for breakfast?
What does she smell like?
When you get close to her, does her hair? I think her hair smells like strawberries.
But I don't even like her.
What really smells like?
But I don't really like her.
I'm not. I don't have like posters of her in my office next to my 1985 fucking computer. I word processor.
I don't even like Rhonda.
Oh, that was amazing.
Did you hear him on like recent Observer Radio where he's like talking about how she looks good, but they ruined how good she looks with the makeup?
It is weird, the red eye makeup that they give her. I'm like, I didn't see it.
Cause
I saw pictures of it.
Yeah, I didn't watch Raw, but I heard.
She looks like Sherry.
Was she even on TV, or was it like an after? It was like an after they went off the air thing, right?
No, it was, I think it was on TV because everyone was talking about it.
Okay. Well, that must have been the week before then. Sorry, I don't know why I even brought that up.
It's just fine. Like I said, we don't have a ton of books left. We had like three more books left. But this was a good issue. I don't know if it was like 600 issue 600 worthy. Like it was.
I like extra. The backup was kind of nice.
I didn't even bother with the backup. What was it about?
There was a backup.
It was Foggy, kind of like reminiscing about his time through the years with Matt during all the big moments. Oh.
Great, I didn't read the part you liked.
Did I. The best part that actually sounds good.
Yeah, it was short, too. It wasn't that long.
Can I say, I was reading this, and one thing that I kept thinking while I was reading it was, I really like this group that they set up in this book. I wish they had their own title.
What do you mean, like Luke Cage and
Yeah, because I understand
Spider-Man.
what the Defenders are supposed to be now because of the Netflix like, series and they had the comic book. I wish this was Defenders because this is like actually a pretty good group.
So you want it to be like the Mighty Avengers? That didn't work too well.
Well, they loaded up a bunch of jobbers. You could just have
like Luke Cage, Misty Knight.
I just like the group dynamic. You have Moon Knight on the team.
But none of them had personalities Spider-Man. In the context of this issue. That was one of the problems with it.
Spider-Man.
I mean, the funniest part was when Moon Knight, of all people, asked him if he was insane. Well, him and... I mean, just to get through the plot of this, they knew all the criminals were meeting up, and they thought... And I will give Soul credit, because they were like, oh, he's going to give all these government posts to the crime lords. And I said... That's the fucking stupidest thing you can do because everybody knows they're criminals and they know Fisk was bad. Well, it turned out he did all that to get them all in one place and was sending the cops in to arrest them. But since the superheroes were there, the cops also arrested the superheroes.
I think he did that on purpose. I think he knew if he had all the supervillains or all the crime bosses together.
Probably.
That the superheroes wouldn't be able to help themselves.
I think they implied that already in the book.
I thought he said like Wesley reported it to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, that's good. But he didn't say okay. It's all part of my plan.
See, that should have been part of the book. Cause that would have been really cool. It's like, you know, he could get rid of all of his enemies in one foul swoop. Like all the crime bosses and then all the superheroes all in one foul swoop. Yeah.
It's a good thing. The big deal superheroes, they don't give a shit about what happens in New York.
No.
They're too busy fucking fighting the Grandmaster or whatever.
Yeah. I did like the part where they're bringing in all the superheroes in, and obviously they're trying to unmask them, but Spider-Man webbed his mask to his costume, and they couldn't take it off.
Yeah.
That was a cute little bit. And then obviously the end with when the hand shows up, because you think, oh, you know, it's clear sailing for Kingpin. You know, he's put away all of his enemies, and presumably it's just him and the city seems to love him, and then that's when the hand shows up. That was a cool little bit I didn't see coming. And then, oh, the end with Matt Murdock being the mayor of the city.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing.
Because they were joking about how the deputy mayor had no powers, but the last mayor secretly changed the rules so that...
And they never, like, reverted the rules back. Yeah. It was like a one-time deal.
He said Fisk was probably going to do it, but he never got around to it. And he was going to fire him.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be like, yo, I'll do this thing with Murdoch tonight, and then on Monday morning I'm going to fire him.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Shows what he knows, because he got his ass whooped by the hand.
Yeah, and I also like how... So Fisk gets shot with like 50 arrows, and then like two panels later, they're like, oh, we got to get him to a hospital and make sure he survives. How the fuck would he survive that? The arrows went through his entire body.
They shot him in the heart. That was the first one they shot off.
Yeah, and then a bunch of shots in the stomach. Like, it's two places. You can fuck an arrow through that. You're dead.
Wait. He's a badass. I was about to say, I think Scott Steiner can explain how he survived.
I can't die in this city. He did talk about how, I love this city.
I love that we've made that now, because
I want to go back and watch Punisher.
Yeah.
What, is Kingpin in it?
Or not Punisher,
Season Daredevil. 2 of Daredevil.
No, Kingpin. Kingpin's not in Punisher, because if he was in Punisher, he wouldn't exactly last that long.
No, because he kills
him. What's going to happen? Punisher shoots him in the head and he dies. Well, not if he's like he is in this.
Well, to be fair, Kingpin is really fat and muscular.
Yeah, but the arrows went through him.
Did they? I thought they just stopped in his body.
Well,
they showed the one going through the back of him, didn't they?
Maybe he missed all his organs. I don't know. It's comics, right?
Yeah, the fucking magical ninjas just happened to miss all the important bits. They are, in fact,
magical ninjas, so.
He's going to be in the hospital.
Eating. No, I don't know. Because he's fat. All right, let's move on to our next and final Marvel book, Legion, issue 3 of 5, writer Peele Milligan, art by Wilfredo Torres.
His shrink is going through adventures in her mind.
His shrink, as it turns out, is really effective.
Yes.
In his mind, because, she's aware and believes now she's in his mind. So she's reacting to everything the way she would as a shrink. She's like analyzing and helping his different personalities. Or at least knows how to talk to all of them to get the most out of them. And her goal in this one was to find the toughest.
The Hunter, I think.
Yeah, his name was the Hunter, and all the other personalities were afraid of him because he's fucking crazy. But she just said, he's like a big, tough alpha male type. So all you got to do is show you're not afraid of him and not back down, which is what she did. And apparently it's going to work. Problem is, Lord Trauma, the bad personality who's killing all the other personalities, knows what she's doing and hasn't been able to stop her. So he left Legion's mind and went to physical world to attack her, like kill her in the real world. So she couldn't fuck up his mind stuff anymore. And he's really goofy.
Yeah. I have two nitpicks of this book. One, as this seems like a really good story, but I feel like it's being undermined by the lackluster art by Wilfredo Torres.
I was not a fan of the art.
Yeah,
actually, the thing was, there were a couple panels where I thought the art looked really, really good, but it was only a couple panels. Like, they were bigger ones where he actually drew cool stuff.
Like, it's
just like his normal character work, I thought was very weak.
It's a really good, interesting, unique story, and it's being underwritten by really subpar art.
Well, my bigger problem with this was actually it's not, it wasn't about Legion, really.
No, it was about his shrink.
Yeah, it was about his shrink. Which, you know, it's fine, but
and
it's only six issues, and it's named after him.
Well, it's 5 issues. So the end's right around the corner. I have two problems with this. Is how much of what's going on with Legion, just him with his psychological issues, and how much of it is just his powers? Like, how hard would it be to get one of those inhibitor collars and just put it on him, and I feel like that would solve a lot of his problems?
He would still have the split personalities.
But they wouldn't be as severe.
Theoretically, no, they wouldn't have powers. he would still have the other personalities. They just wouldn't have powers. So one of the other personalities takes over and they take the collar off. So it's not, you know.
But again, with that said, that wouldn't be much of a book.
Well, yeah, that's why he hasn't done it. He wants his thing is like he wants to, well, it's not even that. He really doesn't want to be better. He doesn't want his evil personality to take over.
Yeah, he still likes the personalities. He likes the fact that he gets all these powers, but he doesn't like the fact that some of them seem detrimental to him trying to be a superhero or just function as a human being.
Or yeah, I mean, Legion as a character has just, he's become Crazy Jane from the Doom Patrol. Like, he's got pretty much the same gimmick.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of personalities and they all have different superpowers. Except, as far as I understand Legion, like, her thing is she learned how to, you know, bring out the particular personality as she needs a power.
Mm-hmm.
He, I don't think, can do that. He's normal most of the time. Like, he's just, you know, David most of the time. So it's less controlled, I guess. But still, the only reason he went to get help was because he had this evil personality who was going to take him over.
Yeah.
Which he didn't want.
No, he did not. But, yeah, that was Legion. I enjoyed. Another book I enjoyed, but we'll get into the review of what I have to say with that, is from Valiant Comics, we have Shadow Man number 1, writer Andy Diggle, art by Steven Segura.
Oh, Shadow Man's back, Jack Bolnow fan.
See, that's the problem with this book. Had I just gone to this book cold, I would have liked it, but because Alex has been building it up, I was expecting a lot more. And I was like, oh, that was a good book, but I expected a lot more since Alex has been building it up since forever.
Well, I didn't write it. the big deal is, they did a lot of vague voodoo shit. Now his ex-wife, is his Mamba, which would be like his assistant. While he was gone, she was the only one to take care of voodoo business. And he escaped from the dead side. He got back.
Baby got back?
Yeah. And he was gonna summon, she was gonna summon one of the Loa, the voodoo gods. But it would not talk to her because Shadow Man was there. Apparently, Shadow Man gets his powers from one of the Loa who were kicked out of the voodoo pantheon. They do not like whoever this is. And, I believe who this is the one who like took over his girlfriend. Is that what I was supposed to infer?
Yes.
The guy who took over his Loa, was it Tangaloa?
Dave is in five form tonight.
There's like three people listening to the show who understood that. Loa is what the voodoo types call their gods. They are Loa.
I like Dave's theory.
It has nothing to do with Tongan wrestlers and tag teams who aren't really over.
I like Dave's explanation better.
I was giving the correct explanation.
Yeah, but Dave's was more fun.
Well, fuck you. I will not say anything else about Jack Boniface, Le Shadow Man.
Uh-huh.
Jerry.
I guarantee. The show is, I would say quickly going off the rails, but it's been off the rails for a while now.
My children, they need wine. I like this.
As did I, but it suffered because Alex had been building it up. Although that's not really the writer's fault, but it's Alex's fault for getting me.
Like the character. I think he has like a cool, I like the voodoo gimmick. I think it's cool. And he carries around a fucking scythe.
It's way cooler than Brother Voodoo.
It is. He's much cooler than Brother Voodoo because he actually does the voodoo. Right. Brother Voodoo doesn't do the voodoo.
No. They should, since we casually been in and out of pro wrestling, they should have one where he fights Papa Shango.
Papa Shango turns his eyes black and fucking makes him puke.
Yeah, it'd be great.
That would be a inconvenience. He'd have to drink like Pepto Bismol and shit. The funniest part in this book was, so he never actually learned about voodoo when he got the Shadow Man powers.
Pretty much.
So he knows jack shit, and she was making fun of him. And she's like, well, we gotta summon this, Loa. So I got this milk here and rice and flour.
He tried to make a joke about white people.
It wasn't a joke though. Like he thought that's what it was. She's like, it has to be white food. And he's like, you mean like food that white people eat? And I was like, that's funny. And she's like, you don't know anything about anything.
Well, the thing is, no one knows what white people eat.
White Alex people does. Do.
You know, they've kept that a secret.
We don't keep it a secret.
Like mayonnaise?
They watch TV. 90% of TV shows are about white people, and we eat on those shows.
They love everything with mayonnaise.
That's what happens. Yeah, I do the show with a couple fucking minorities. They don't understand.
I was trying to do the.
I know you're doing spell show thing. Juice, man, give me some fucking orange drink. That's a real fucking thing. I have seen that live and in person. The orange drink, and I, as a white man, have never had orange drink. They used to have, when I was in elementary school, they used to have, like, they had the milk cartons.
Yeah. There was a fruit drink and there was, like, a lemon drink.
Yeah, and the fruit drink was usually orange. But I've been told that's not orange drink. It's too watery and it doesn't have enough sugar. Is what I've been told from black people. And I assume they would know because they love orange drink.
And why would they lie to you? I mean, you're just whitey.
They wouldn't lie to... Well, dude, they wouldn't fucking lie to me. Come on, I'm fucking Alex. I'm awesome. Everybody loves me.
That's true. Okay, you got that part right, but...
I'm touching myself right now.
Yeah, because you're in your home by yourself right now, right?
I am. My wife and kid went to go to Good Friday service down in the Quad Cities.
Are they
with the DJs?
The Quad City DJs? I do believe that is where they're from. What was this song? They did "Come on, ride the train, choo-choo, ride it."
That's all I hear now is the rock
version. That's the Quad City DJs.
All I hear now is the rock version.
Well, I don't think you hear that song a lot in general.
I hear it on Botchamania.
Well, yeah, but that's the only place. Exo Manowar.
Oh, this is great. Matt,
we found out why he left.
Bohan.
Yes. He ends up killing. He's the reason why his son got cancer.
Possibly. Possibly.
Possibly.
Because son got leukemia.
Yep.
And his baby and died. And they said the only thing we think is the low level radiation from your armor is what did it. So the reason he went to another planet and was trying to not wear the armor is because he felt bad about that. But then he had to wear the armor to fight the guys. And he beat the guys. He, you know, cut their arms and legs off, some of them, and scared the rest of them and told them, all right, if you leave and you give up your mission, we'll pay you whatever you were going to get paid. And you have to take this asshole who tried to turn everyone on me, and then you got to go. And he's like making out with his blue girlfriend, and she pointed out how, you know, oh, you actually brought peace to this world, and you were amazing. And he's like, yeah, I got to find somewhere to go, though, because I can't go back to Earth. And then in the coming next issue, it's like Earthbound. So I guess he's going to fight Gygus.
Oh, you beat me to it.
I wasn't planning on that. I just, after I said Earthbound, but I just thought it odd that he just said like, well, I can't go back to Earth. And then he's like, I'm going to go back to Earth.
Earth. Will Smith Earth. Is going to show up and be like, welcome to Earth.
Well, they called it, didn't they call it? They didn't spell it Earth.
No, they called it, they spelled it some weird way. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was like Earth.
Like with a U maybe?
Earth.
Yeah,
and he just never corrected them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sad about his kid dying though, especially he thought it was his fault.
Yeah, that is sad.
Well, he should have like they didn't know for sure though and screamed.
Well, that's the thing; they didn't know if it was directly related to this.
Well, he believed it was because he left.
Yeah, well, you have to imagine. I don't know.
Every time he fucked his wife, he was shooting her full of radiation.
Maybe she liked it.
She likes the radiation.
Yeah.
Radioactive D.
Hey, everybody's got a thing.
That's a weird thing to be into. She definitely wasn't into it after Exo Mano Baby
died.
Hey,
maybe that's how Alana was flying, radiation.
We saw Book of Death Exo Mano War. We know that he has a daughter.
True.
Boom.
Boom indeed. All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our final segment this week. Next week's books.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
See, you know, they can never do the Russo brothers in 2018 because they, you know what they feel like to me? They feel like the New Day.
I was gonna say like this song must have been the inspiration for American Males. American Males.
Well, it's a different company.
Well, yeah, they heard this and they're like, oh.
Because the thing is, this is so bad. It's funny and it's great.
I watched.
Remember that's what the New Day was?
Shows would have been around. I don't remember this music.
Oh, I remember it.
I have no recollection of it.
It's amazing. Like, I didn't understand what gay was at that age, so I didn't know why this would be funny, but now I think it's funny.
This reminds me of, like, the New Day, because remember when they first came out, like, everybody hated them because it was such a stupid gimmick?
The Rougeaus are heels.
Well, and that was the whole thing with New Day. Eventually, they turned him heel because the gimmick was so stupid. People kept booing.
Didn't like Jacques Rougeau like beat the shit out of one Dynamite Kid?
Oh,
what was that?
Oh, one of them. Yeah, he sucker punched him with like a bag of quarters or something. Knocked out his teeth, something like that.
Bag of batteries.
Oh, did he have? He had a roll of quarters.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that
dirty
makes you hit harder.
People who aren't hitters.
Good for him. I don't know why he'd have to. Dynamite Kid is like 4 foot tall. Uh-huh. He could have done the gimmick where he held his hand out. Just like put his hand on his head and it's like, ah, you can't touch me. Because they didn't know how to do like shoot moves then.
No, they didn't.
So he would have just kept running.
All right. Next week's books. I feel like we stall enough.
Okay. Who wants to start? I still got to pick a fifth book.
Yeah, you didn't look ahead, did you?
I did. I got four.
Okay,
but I was questioning. All right, you know what? I'll here. Astro City 51. Snagglepuss number 4. Justice League 42. Walking Dead 178. And if I want another book, I'll tell you and we'll add it later because I didn't have time to look. But I'm not sure there is another book.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so I got it. Okay. All right, Dave, what do you have?
Hold up. Let me pull it up.
That's just fine. I got to play catch up. And,
All-American boys, all-American.
All right, let's see what we got here.
Well, while you look that up on your time, I will list off my titles.
Oh, Tony, I saw a comic you might be.
Yes, I know. I know exactly what it is too. What, is it Analog?
No, not Analog.
Okay, what was it?
Tremendous Trump, a Man Child, Covfefit.
Wait, what?
Here, look.
Let me see. Let me see. Hold on. I can pull it up.
There are a lot of Trump comics.
Yeah, and I skimmed through a couple of them.
And here, I put it in Facebook for you. It's got a great cover.
Let's see. Tremendous Trump, amen. Oh, it's a man child Covfefe.
Covfefe, that's how you say it. It's not a real word. No. So. he got an accidental overdose of internet.
Hey, and I wish Dave was looking at it so he could comment on his physique.
And I'm looking for these books. There's a G.I. Joe anniversary edition.
Mm. Alex, I'm not picking this Trump book, just so you know. Yeah, I know. I hate to disappoint, but
no. There's also Tremendous Trump World War T. This company apparently only puts out Trump books.
What is this analog?
Yeah, it looks like a
Blade. Well, it's number one. Jerry Duggan writes it. He's sometimes good.
Let's see.
Something about security of the internet, armed couriers. Oh, so basically a world where the internet has been compromised. So now you got to have couriers to give information. I guess.
So it's in the current world.
Not too distant future, maybe?
Nah, I think I'm going to pass on this.
A couple years from now?
I'll pick it. It's a number one. There's another number one. It's called Isola. Let's see what this is. Eisner Award-winning storyteller Carl Kirsch.
What did he win an Eisner for?
Gotham Academy.
It looks like... was that early Miyazaki movie with the bugs?
The bugs. Well, it does say recommended for fans of Studio Ghibli and the work of Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah, because it looks like fucking... What the fuck? What's that called? I'm going to look it up.
Okay. So, Dave, are you going to pick this book? Because
I'll pick those two. So,
is there a Resident Weeble? Yeah, you're going to pick it.
Yeah. So, Analog and Isola. Amazing Spider-Man. Avengers, and what else?
One more book.
See, and I guess I will pick, what is this? Oh, Avengers Shards of Infinity.
Duh, I'm going to take a shard right now. That shouldn't be so funny, but it is.
Right. Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Oh, that thing. Okay,
looks just like the character from that, except not anime.
Oh, by the way, Femin, there's a Marvel 2-in-1 this week for you.
Yes, I know. Okay, let me go over my picks now. All right. From DC, I'm picking Batman. From Marvel, as Marvel previously mentioned, Marvel 2-in-1. And from Image... I know Alex is going to be thrilled with this. I Hate Fairyland 18. Ugh. Hey, it has Duncan Dragon again. Remember how you said he was just a character for that one issue?
Yeah, I thought he was.
Nah, he's going to be in again.
So what is this, 11 books?
Let's see.
12, I don't know. 13.
Alex has picked 4, you picked 5, and I picked 3. So that's 11 books.
12 books. Oh, okay. Yeah,
my bad.
What's your favorite Miyazaki movie?
I like the Castle in the Sky, but I also like On Poppy Hill.
I like My Neighbor Totoro.
I've seen that one. It's good for a kid. I don't know. It's like there's like no plot practically.
Well, that's Jack's favorite.
I'm sure for a kid it's like great.
And I like the song. After that, it would be Spirited Away. I liked a lot.
I also liked that Wind Rises. I liked a lot too.
That one, I didn't. It had none of the whimsy. I enjoyed the whimsy.
It was a fictional biography because
It was like about his dad, right? Or sort of about his dad.
The guy who made the plane, but. Like, the dude's wife didn't die of tuberculosis. they like, adapted, like, a short story, and they fictionalized it to his biography. But his wife actually lived to be very old.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like it when there's not magic in his movies.
Well, there sort of was with the dreaming and all that shit.
My least favorite was, I don't know, Ponyo? I didn't like Ponyo much. I thought it was too weird.
It was okay. I've seen it. It was okay.
Have you seen the one about the pig?
Porco Rosso?
Who flies?
Yeah.
That one's hilarious.
All right, what does this have to do with comics?
Nothing. That was the Miyazaki minute.
Well,
he's a very talented old man.
I don't see how we're going to make that a regular bit on the show, but yeah, that just is fine. We're wrapping up the show. All right, so from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show, and as always, check you guys out next week. Adios. To all the shiny rich, where on the 14th Delta Strip, in an abandoned house, but I will wait there. I'll be waiting.
Totoro, Totoro. Wait, 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 wait,